So welcome to this final day of retreat. And the benefits of spending a whole weekend focused on on the truth of your real nature is that by the time we get to this final day, there's some real momentum going on, and there's some real focus, and something that cannot be stopped is occurring. So we tend to see on this final day that there's much more breaking through and letting go and seeing, and all of that begins to happen. And that will continue for quite some time after the retreat is finished. You kind of put the time in over the weekend and the commitment, and then it keeps bearing fruit as you move through the next weeks and months of your life. And anything that that you see at retreat, anything that you experience, anything that is revealed to you through your seeing, your looking, it's then our responsibility or our role to honor that seeing to the best of our ability, to not go back to the old way of perceiving yourself. We're going to talk about that later today, but what we are doing is we're seeing ever deeper what we actually are, and we're retreating backwards into that seeing. There isn't really a backwards, but I've got to use some words to describe. And not going out again to these ideas of what we thought we were. That's the most important thing, because you could have seeing after seeing after seeing, and if that's not being honored, if you're not trying to hold that up against what you're experiencing in your everyday life, well, I've seen that this is true, but I seem to be experiencing this, then the whole process is going to grind to a halt, and you're going to experience a really dualistic life of ever greater seeings, ever deeper clarity, and then ever more suffering, seemingly ever more polarized opposite experience. So to see what is revealed to you and then to honor that, and if you can't seem to honor that, then if you can't seem to apply that to your life, well, is this problem still true now, given what I've seen? Is this thing still real for me now, given what I've seen in my inquiry, in my meditation, in my retreat? Then that's when you really need to ask for help. That's when you really need to reach out. And there'll be time for questions later, but I really just wanted to start with that. That what we're doing here is not really just spending a weekend together. There is that aspect to it, of course, and but there is so much more going on under the surface here that you may be beginning to feel, that there's some momentum gathering when a group of beings come together to focus on the truth for any length of time. It's powerful, but for a whole weekend, something really amazing has the capacity to occur. And really, retreat is learning how to, any spiritual practice, any authentic, direct spiritual practice is learning how to recognize what's real, and then learning how to let go of what's unreal. And those two skills go together hand in hand. And we start from the honest truth that we don't know how to do that to start off with. None of us know how to recognize what's real. And even when if we have had a glimpse of what's real, it may have come as a momentary flash of insight, or an aha moment, or some some point where truth is suddenly revealed to us to the extent that we can perceive it. Doesn't necessarily mean then that we can access that consciously. So I could sit here and have a glimpse of the fact that I'm everywhere, and that I'm not a person at all, that none of that was ever really true about me. But then the very next moment, I'm right back with my old thinking process, aren't I? I'm right back with my old dualistic thought patterns of me and you and this and that. And if I don't know then how to consciously access that place that was that real truth about me that was revealed, then it's just going to serve to make me feel more separate to that truth. I'm going to try to get back there, and that very effort is going to disturb me more. So meditation, self-inquiry, contemplation is a way to consciously be what you are, because you already are it now. You've never really been a someone somewhere. You've always absolutely been that spacious expanse of consciousness that we began to touch upon in our meditation, in our inquiry last session. But for a long time, we've dreamed ourselves to be someone somewhere, and we've taken on the qualities of each particular body that we dreamt we have. So to undo that long-standing dream, we had to see and see and see again what we actually are, and then apply that to what seems to be happening to us. Imagine if you were caught in a three-dimensional hallucination. If you were unable to recognize at first that you were caught in a hallucination, because a dream, it seems real while it's happening, doesn't it? And then even if you wake up momentarily out of a dream at night time, and when you wake up out of a dream and you open your eyes and you sit up in bed, it's obvious that that was a dream and that it wasn't real. But for most of us, while the dream is going on, it's as real as the waking state is once you come out of it. So we have to really reinforce that this seeing of what is real over and over and over again. And it's still happening for me now, although I am clear of any ability to believe the dream is real anymore. But I'm still doing the basics that we're doing in meditation. It's just more effortless and constant, still utterly recognizing what's real. And anything that seems to arise is held up against that. Well, is that real now? So our meditation becomes a kind of reverence to what is real about us, what is real about everything. That vast space of consciousness, spaciousness, we were calling it last night, silence. It doesn't matter what we call it awareness, we could call it consciousness, we could call it self, noumenon, anything and everything at all. Presence, beingness, silence, stillness, any of those, and every single name that everyone has ever called the self. The fact remains that it is indivisible, it's intangible, it's formless, it's everywhere, all the time. It cannot be divided, and I'm describing you right now. It's everywhere, all the time, cannot be divided. It is not possible for something that is formless, that doesn't have any substance or structure, to only be present somewhere. That's only true for an object. An object can be present somewhere or absent. So right now, body's present, later it'll be absent. Hopefully a lot later, but... And that doesn't apply to this spaciousness, this formlessness. It can't be present somewhere only. If it's present, it must be everywhere, unbroken, undivided, and indivisible. Just because it's undivided, we see its whole right now. We still have a tendency to dream that it was divided, or that we can make it whole, or something like that. So meditation becomes a practice of seeing what is real, referencing that again and again and again. And that begins to undo this long-standing capacity to think in terms of duality, in terms of separation, in terms of being someone. The more you see what's real, the more it's going to stick out like a sore thumb, where you think of yourself as a someone, or where you're perceiving other someones that aren't really there in reality. Everything that you experience is yourself, cannot be other than yourself, the self. So we can see what's real in meditation, we can recognize that spaciousness, we can allow our sense of someone to rise to the surface in meditation. But this time, without identifying with it, we can say, oh, there's some old software, there's some old programming. It's not wrong. We don't need to make it wrong. If we're saying it's bad or it's wrong, my sense of being a separate being, then I'm going to try to be pushing against it and I'll feel divided. You are that great vast expansion of awareness. Inside that is a body appearing, and inside that body is some old conditioning appearing. And just to let it arise without identifying with it. So if there's fear, you can say there's fear, but don't be so sure that you're scared. If there's anger, let it be there. Don't be so sure that you're angry. If there's suffering, let there be suffering. Don't be so sure that you're suffering. If there's pain, on and on and on it goes. Just let it be without identifying with it is enough. And if it comes and doesn't seem to resolve, then that's the time to apply some contemplation to that. And just to hold everything up that happens. If what I am really is this spacious, vast expanse in which the universe itself is in appearance, then can I still be unworthy of reaching the self? Can I still be not there yet? Can I still be someone who's never going to make it? Can I still be someone who doesn't have the right skills or the right karma? Can I still be someone that needs something or wants something, even awakening? So meditation is falling in love with what's real. And it is a love affair. There is this beautiful synergistic thing that happens when you fall in love with what's real, and the devotion to what's real about you becomes strong enough. You will be unable to lie to yourself anymore to say that I have any problems at all. I am a separate being and all that comes with that. Even to say that you're the one coming out of the dream. The dream is happening and you're here. And you just begin to see, well, that's never really affected me. I've always been right here. Out of that love and that devotion to truth comes wisdom, clarity, real wisdom. Not what I know about myself as a separate being, but wisdom that to recognize formlessness cannot be somewhere, cannot be divided. There never was any someone's. There are all these human bodies, but are there any separate beings? That wisdom just becomes clearer each time you look, more obvious, more true. So wisdom and love, or jnana and bhakti, if you want it that way, are the same thing. They're going in the same direction. They become the same thing at this point. I love what's true because it's true. And when I love what's true, I'm filled with wisdom. When I'm filled with wisdom, I have even more love for what's real, and around it goes. Gradually, you just rewire your entire neural pathway circuits in the brain so that you cannot actually think in terms of separation anymore. You cannot think of yourself as a being, someone, somewhere in time and space anymore. You can still talk like a someone when you need to. You can still pretend to be someone when you need to be, and that's absolutely fine. All that functions just great. So there's this place where your meditation is really no different from self-inquiry, from prayer, from worship, if you like that word. It's really all coming together in this most direct form of meditation. Noticing what's real, and then noticing the tendency to get distracted back. Meditation is direct form, as we've been doing all this weekend. We've just been using different ways to come into what's real. And we'll use another one today. If you find one that works for you, stick with it. It's absolutely great. If not, there's some on the YouTube channel as well. Any direct meditation where you're seeing the formlessness is going to begin to transform everything. And as you fall in love with that more, then you want to see it more. And as you want to see it more, you'll recognize what's not true about you even clearer. Just to see it's not true, that my readiness for awakening, my worthiness, my ability to achieve it, all of that was never actually an issue, really. And there's this falling away of trying to get somewhere, and this more and more just being what you already are. Less and less disturbing yourself with what's not true for you anymore. Even this giant effort that we all have to come to recognize truth will just become something effortless as well. You're just here and seeings keep happening, and then as the seeings keep happening more, the old stuff falls away. And there isn't a sense of doing that, it's just happening more and more effortlessly. It's just a very simple thing in meditation that we're doing. It needs to be said again and again. I'll often repeat myself over the really important points, because as the self, we learn through repetition. We learn through what's familiar. We learn through what we've heard many times before. And at some point, when we hear it, it just becomes obviously true inside. It's recognizable inside. Yeah, that's true. The more we put attention on that which is everywhere and insubstantial, the less we're putting attention on the forms, the phenomena, the objects. And the more we put attention on what is real, the less we're going to seem to want to notice the unreal. And it'll drop away without us pushing against it. So we're just changing one habit for another. That's why, if you can get this little bit about meditation in its most direct way, it becomes so much easier. As human beings, we're trained to put attention on phenomena first. So if you came into this room and sat down here with me, immediately you would notice the furniture in the room, the objects in the room. You would notice what I'm dressed like, what I'm wearing. You would notice, you know, perhaps my different accent to yours, maybe all of that. You'd notice the difference and the phenomena first. But it's possible as a human being to only perceive the formlessness, to actually only, your go-to default setting is not to perceive the phenomena first. It's to perceive the spaciousness first. It doesn't mean you bump into the objects, or it doesn't mean you try to walk through walls or anything like that. Your body still functions with its normal, everyday consciousness, its programming, its software to get around in the world. All that's still in place. But inside, you can't perceive the phenomena first. And that's a huge, huge difference. Why? Because as you begin to recognize the formlessness, the spacious, the vast expanse of your being, it's always here, it's everywhere, all the time, indivisible. Then you're going to form this new habit of looking at that first, and you're going to begin to start to realize some quite startling things. Firstly, that you've never been a someone, that you've always been something that is indescribable, really. We're using words like expanse and spaciousness and silence, but they don't really ultimately touch on the great mystery that is you. They're just pointers, of course. And as you begin to recognize that about yourself more, the next realization that's going to come at some point is, what is all this then that I'm perceiving with my senses? If when I close my eyes or I inquire, my self-inquiry, my realization is that I am everywhere all the time and unable to be divided or absent from anywhere. And there's no separate being in that spaciousness when I look. More and more I'm seeing I'm looking from that rather than at it. Then the question is going to arise, what is all this then? Is there this world of forms as well? Can there be this world of form as well? If there is this infinite consciousness that is infinite, which means it cannot be missing from anywhere at all, ever. What is all this that we see with our senses then? What could that be? And the ultimate realization then is that this world of form and this vast, expansious consciousness, awareness, self, silence, spaciousness are the same thing. They're one thing. We can call it form, we can call it formless. And this is where the height of your meditation will take you, meditating on the formlessness. You'll begin to see that formlessness can appear as form, as substance, as somethingness, or as nothingness. Or you could say that all these forms are really empty and insubstantial, including our own body. It's not at all what we think it is. And science is proving this, science is backing this up now as well, coming to recognize what the awakened beings have always come to see, that there isn't really a world of form and a world of formlessness, a vast expanse of formlessness, because that would be two things. That they are both the same thing, that when I have a human body and I have human senses and I look, I see difference, I see diversity, I see all different kinds of shapes. What those shapes are in their essence is the same. And that's the height of meditation. To really love what's real, you'll have to re-include the world of form again. And your devotion to what's real will bring this wisdom of it's all the same one being. Whatever I experience, wherever I go, whatever I look at, whomever I talk to, all of that is coming from this understanding that when I open my eyes, it looks like a world of form. When I close my eyes, it's a vast expanse of being, and that they must be the same. They must be one. They must be non-different. They will appear to be opposites, of course, while the body's here. And they'll still seem to be a world of form. And you can still interact with that world of form. But you know what it is. You're awake in the dream then. You're awake in everybody else's dream. Everybody else is convinced that these are real solid forms. But you're awake to that. You know it looks solid. You know it appears solid. You know it feels solid when you pick it up. But you know what it ultimately is. So meditation is more than just something we're doing. It's a space where we're recognizing what's real. And in our love of what's real is going to allow this wisdom to come. And wisdom and love are really just two sides of one coin. You cannot love truth without it bringing wisdom. And you cannot have some wisdom revealed. And you know what I mean by wisdom? It just comes out of the blue and it's so obviously true. And it usually feels revelatory or some opening or some new recognition. It's not a manufactured thinking here. It's wow, oh, I just suddenly see something. And this wisdom is going to foster more love to see. And you just need to get into this positive feedback loop that's going up. Meaning, the more you fall in love with truth, the more you want to see it and understand it and be it. The more you want to see it and be it, the more you're falling in love with it. Same thing. So when we master meditation, we master our life. And that's why we spend quite a bit of time with meditation in a retreat like this, because when we begin to master meditation, we can orient our entire life that way. What do I mean by mastering it? Firstly, like we were saying yesterday, there isn't a perfect meditation in terms of the experience you will have in it. The perfect meditation is allowing that experience completely, not saying it could have been anything other than it was or anything other than it is in this moment. It's a terrible meditation in terms of restlessness and negative emotions and outer distractions. That's the perfect meditation, just as beneficial for waking up. If you don't say it shouldn't be that way. I've seen plenty of people, I've also myself, seen them get stuck along the way, become addicted to bliss, become addicted to that deep place we can experience in meditation and not have any urge to progress any further, as if the bliss is just a kind of a painkiller that we feel in meditation, the peace, and then we come back out to our normal waking state and we come back out of meditation and pick up all of our ideas again, that we haven't actually moved anywhere at all in that. That's what I mean about application. It should be what's seen to you in your inquiry, what's revealed in your meditation, what you feel to be true. We can always do our best to line up with that. Just the intention to live as what you're seeing is enough. You don't even actually have to do that. That bit will be done for you, by you, but without any effort. Just to want to live, an intense desire to live as what you're seeing, more than you want to live as a separate being. That's the only ingredient for success. That makes it really simple. And I got really excited when I realized that, because it means that I don't even have to figure out how to do it. So just to recognize there is this place where there are no other beings and there isn't any forms per se in that way. And there isn't any problem there I have to sort out. And there isn't any identification with a body even there in that spaciousness. I don't even have to disidentify with a body there. Even that is no longer my issue when I honor what's real. That silence, that spaciousness, doesn't have any problems, does it? There isn't anything wrong there at all. So just to recognize, what's it like then to live like that all the time? To live from and as that place. And then to let go of trying to make that happen. Because if you are that vast expanse of being already, and you honor that, then your word is law. Your intention has to manifest. Your awakening has to blossom into the fullest, highest that you want. If I recognize I can't find a separate being in that consciousness, in that spaciousness, and then I say from that powerful place, I want to live like this, it's got to happen. Your word becomes law there. There's a power and a conviction in that declaration of intent. It's a prediction of the future, you could say. So that's how important it is what you're seeing in meditation. If instead we say, okay, I want to wake up, but I don't seem to be getting there, or I feel like I'm getting there, but it's slowly, or I don't think it's going to happen for me, or I don't think I've got to let go of this stuff first, and I can't seem to let go of it, then that also becomes law and becomes manifest immediately, and you experience it again and again. So hopefully getting a sense of the simplicity of the awakening, which we'll talk about more later. See what you actually are as many times as possible. Then check out if there is actually a separate being also. See if you can find that also. And you won't every time you look. And then live as what's true. Make a decision and decide you're going to do that. And forget about the how. And just make a decision, a conviction inside. And it will all change from there for you. And I'm saying it as if it's something you're going to do, but you've already somehow inside said yes to that, or you wouldn't be hearing these words, you wouldn't be in this retreat. So I'm just only bringing some light to the process that's occurring right now. This retreat literally is your word becoming manifest, isn't it? And if you like your Bible quotes, you know, in the beginning, there was the word, and the word was God. This is what this literally means. Genesis creation means what comes from that true place, what is spoken from that true place, absolutely has to happen. Absolutely. There is nothing in the known cosmos that can get in the way of that. So, having said all that, forget about it and let's just relax into a meditation. Let's just take some time, 20, 25 minutes, where we're just going to put some attention on what's real and just forming this habit of noticing what's real. And we're just going to do a very simple meditation, as always. They're always the most powerful, where we're not really using any technique at all. We're just putting attention on. We're going to start today by noticing your body. And again, you can do this with eyes open or closed. You can either sense your body with your eyes closed or just look at it with your eyes open. Either is fine. And the presence of the body allows us to contrast, to notice the space around the body. So your body's here. And around the body is empty space. The room that you're sitting in, there's empty space in the room. It's not completely full of objects. And all we're going to do is very simple meditation, is to bring attention, awareness, whatever we're calling it, to the empty space. And recognizing that the empty space is invisible and intangible already, and yet you can perceive it. You're not seeing it with your eyes, like when you look at your body, but you know that there's empty space here. You already utterly have the capacity to notice something formless and intangible. It's so obvious to you that you've never noticed you can do that, perhaps. Right now, can you see this empty space here? Yes, but not with your eyes. You're already doing it. So just to bring attention to that empty space, most simple, simple thing of all. And the more attention you put on the empty space, the more you begin to experience like that space, the more you begin to feel open and free and light, the more it reflects in the body, the effect. Just bring an attention to that empty space. You don't need to think about it. Mind may think about it, but just to know it's here, just to notice. Just let mind do its thing. It's absolutely fine. It's not going to get in the way of your meditation, even if it's shouting. Just to notice the emptiness, that which has no form. We're calling it space. It's fine. And through force of habit, from time to time, you'll notice that you're watching thoughts again, or some phenomena, some coming and goingness, maybe some emotion or some feeling in the body. Nothing going wrong there, it's just the old habit. It's enough to bring attention back to that spaciousness. Can't see it with your eyes, can't touch it. Just the empty space. Recognition and knowing that it's here. It's invisible, it's intangible, doesn't have any color or anything, but it's here. You can perceive it nonetheless. And even if your eyes are open and you're looking at an object, you can still be aware of the space with your inner seeing, your direct seeing. Just bringing attention to that which is here all the time, all around the body, permeating the room that you're sitting in is this spaciousness. Or you could say the room and the body are sitting in this spaciousness. And there isn't anything to do, as with our other meditations. We're just noticing what's here, putting attention on that which we tend to ignore. Consciously noticing what's here, proving to ourselves that whenever we want to notice the spaciousness, we can. That it's not difficult, that it's natural even for you to recognize the empty space. So natural that perhaps we haven't really paid it any attention. And yet the obviously overlooked is the most sacred thing about you. Just noticing the spaciousness is present. It's here every time we notice. Nothing clever about this meditation, just a very simple, simple thing. A choice of where to place our attention consciously. We can either be looking at something, or we can be looking at this nothingness, spaciousness. And it's not going to entertain you. It may not feel amazing at first. It may not feel like anything. Mind may say, well, this is dull. This isn't getting me anywhere. It's only because mind can't really understand the significance through no fault of its own. Of this spaciousness. So maybe I don't even need to get anywhere. Where is this spaciousness trying to get to anyway? Just bringing our attention to that which is always here. The more we notice it, the more real it seems. The more real it seems, the more we notice it. And we're not discounting the body and the thoughts, they're all just here. Breathing's just happening, your heart's beating, all of that's going on. It's all just fine. Mind may be thinking, emotions may be moving. Don't need to do anything with it at all. Just to bring attention to what's real is enough. There is something about you that's ever present, always here, not a form. Like empty space. Absolutely insubstantial, but completely real. cannot be destroyed, cannot suffer. It doesn't need or want anything, this spaciousness. Doesn't even need to recognize itself. It just is. It's not coming or going. Every time we bring attention back to the spaciousness, it's there. It's there even when attention wanders. That spaciousness is everywhere, permeating the objects. The simple thing of bringing attention to it consciously by choice is making this new habit. To see this spaciousness first. It's just a new habit. And even a few moments spent consciously noticing this invisible self, this spaciousness, can be extraordinarily transformative. Just for some time, consciously choosing to notice this. It isn't graspable with the senses. You can notice it. It doesn't have a shape, but you can see it. It doesn't have any form, but you can rest in it. And to notice it is going to begin to soothe the body and mind. It will have an effect on the body and mind, which we can enjoy. There's nothing we need to push against. We're just noticing spacious consciousness, beingness. From time to time, just checking where your attention is. It's either on some phenomena, some thoughts, or it's on this expansive spaciousness. Just to gently redirect it if you need to. No big deal. So in a few moments, we'll be bringing this meditation to a close. And as the formal session comes to a close, I would urge you, invite you to remain in meditation as you move about these next few hours, to prove to yourself that even with eyes open and body moving and talking, that you can still be aware of the spaciousness, that the body can be doing whatever it's doing quite naturally by itself, that you can remain focused gently with attention on that spaciousness, on the real self. Thank you. Namaste.